morning and happy Sabbath, Tabernacle of Praise.
Morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I'm like the apostle said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us stand as we usher in the Holy Spirit as we sing Sabbath rest. Set our work aside.
Set our work aside.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. You may be seated in the presence of an amazing God. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Are you glad to be in God's house just one more time? Oh, come on. We could do better than that. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. I believe God is here with us this morning. How many were blessed here last night? How many been here last night? Amen. Come on now. Come on. We were blessed last night. By the man of God, Dr. Ross. We are so blessed that he is here with us today. How many enjoy Sabbath school? Amen. Well, if you weren't here last night, you got a glimpse of what it was like here, what it would be like here during this divine worship, during Sabbath school. But you'll hear more about him as I will be doing an intro, a formal intro, a little later on in the service. But we want to just take this time out to welcome each and every one of you, especially you who are viewing with us online. We praise God for you. We know that you could click that button and go somewhere else, but we're just so blessed and honored that you have chosen to come and worship with us today. So we want to say welcome and happy Sabbath to you. To those of you who are in the house, we praise God for you because we know and understand that it's cold outside. Come on, somebody. And stand in the house in those warm sheets. I know you fought this morning, but you pressed your way out this morning and you made your way here, and we want to just say welcome and we thank God for your faithfulness, for your commitment in God's service. Amen. Amen. Just want to ask you, do we have anyone visiting with us for the very first time? Any first time visitors with us today? Amen. Amen. Well, praise God for you in the house. We thank God for you. Just a couple more announcements and I will get out of your way. Just want to remind you, on Monday we will be having our board meeting. So our board meetings, please mark your calendars for that. And on Sunday, we'll have our finance committee meeting. Amen. And on this next Sabbath, there is a concert at Northside Church. We want to encourage you to be a part of that, to be there, to fellowship with that. I'm not sure, were we singing next week at that? Okay, we'll be there in voice and in physical presence. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that amazing concert. And also there will be a social afterwards. There will be a social. I believe there will be some games played and things of that nature. So we want you to come ready to just enjoy the Sabbath at Northside. Birthdays. Do we have any birthdays to celebrate this week or this month? Amen. Any birthdays? Any birthdays? Look behind me. And no one? No, no. Well, my sister, okay, Sister Brenda, you have to put that on. The twins, the 26, 19. Amen. Well, praise God. We'll keep them in prayer. 19. Amen. Did I see your hand go up, Brother Miller? No? Okay, amen. Well, my sister's birthday, sometimes she joins in. Pretty much she joins in quite often. Every Sabbath when she leaves her church, she joins in. All the way in Indianapolis, Indiana, we celebrate February the 22nd. Amen, my sister's birthday. Had to make sure I get that right, the 22nd. Yours is when? The 27th. Your sister's is the 27th. Amen. Well, we praise God for all birthdays. Any anniversaries? We didn't have any birthdays. Like I said, I think I said it last time. You know, February is a cold month. Do we? Oh, my sister back there. Could you write your anniversary this month? Your birthday was on the 15th of this month. Amen. We about missed that one. Well, we praise God for you and pray that you were able to celebrate it. And that was when the 15th was just, what, a couple days ago? Say 2 days ago. Yeah, amen. I'm not even going to go down that road and call out any numbers, but we praise God for you. Amen? Amen. Happy birthday to you. Can we just sing happy birthday to my dear sister over here? Amen. Angela, amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Angela. Happy birthday. Amen. That was special just for you. Amen. Normally when we get to the name part, Miss Angela, we say all kind of things. Members, family. But today was special. I think everybody said Angela. So happy birthday, my sister. You are truly blessed. Amen. At this time, can we just take a moment and bow our heads as we introduce, welcome in the Spirit of the Living God. Loving Lord, our Father and our God, again, we are so thankful. So blessed and honored and privileged to be able to come before you. You are truly an amazing God. Without you, we're hopelessly lost, but with you, we are more than conquerors. And so we give you all praise, all honor, and all glory. Thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do. As we celebrate and remember you on this Sabbath day, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
A month. Amen. We want you to stand as we shall sing the song, We Shall Overcome Someday. Amen.
We shall.
Amen. We shall overcome. Some things we have, some things we have yet. But we know that God is still a very present help in the time of storms. We have come a long ways. We still have a long ways to go. But it's a blessing to be able to look back and see how God brought us, how God kept us. That lets us know and gives us the encouragement to see and to know that God will continue to be that faithful friend in the midst of the troubled waters that we experience in life. That God is a very present help. That God still holds the keys. Sometimes in life it seems as if things are just weighty and things are just so overwhelming and our personal lives can become so perplexed and it seems as if the weight of the world is just out of control. And it gets to the point to where sometimes it's cloudy and you can't see God in the midst of it all because it just don't seem like this is something that God would do. Or God, I've been faithful in this area. Why would you allow that to happen over here? God, I've been true to you over here. And God, I've been committed to you over there. And it seems as if, God, I'm standing on the island of Patmos once again after all that I have done. It seems as if, God, you are nowhere to be found. I've called you. And the word of God said, if I seek after you, if I knock on the door, if I just present myself before you, that you are faithful and just. But it seems, God, as if you're not around. But I just stopped by here this morning to encourage you, family, that God has not left you alone. That God is still in the midst of. That God is still standing near. And that there are times when God have to just let you go through it. How will we know that he's a healer if you've never been sick? How will I know that he's a provider if I've never been provided for? How do I know that he's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother if I've never been in a position where I needed someone to call on, someone to talk to? Someone to just say, you are doing a great job. Well, he's still here. God is faithful. God is true. So this morning, as we approach God's throne in prayer, just wanted to encourage you with those words to let you know that to hang in there. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on God. Because God will never give up on you. It gets rough in life sometimes. It gets heavy sometimes. It's the way it is. Didn't ask for it. I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to live by it. And I've come to realize that God is still God. So as we gather our hearts and as we gather our minds and as we approach God's prayer, I just want us to remember our unified prayer. Our prayer of unity today is to pray that God will help us overcome sins and habits and addictions that keep us from reaching his ideal for us. We also want to remember Sister Lewis in prayer. Ask that God will touch her body and heal her of her issues and her sicknesses. We also want to remember all of the families. There are too many to name today that are bereaved and that have funerals and loved ones that they have lost. We want to remember those families. We want to remember our very own Sister Beverly and Sister Elaine and all of our sick and shut in. For we know that God is a keeper, that God is a healer. We want to remember our president this morning as he was making his way here on yesterday, was halted by the storms, the snow, and they slept in their car all night. All night. Called me this morning and said, preacher, I'm not going to be able to make it this morning. They turned around and they're heading back home. So we prayed for traveling mercies for President Bernard and Sister Ivona. For those that feel pressed to come close to the altar, we encourage you to come at this time. For those of you who choose to remain in your seats, We ask if you can reverently kneel as we approach God in prayer. It's prayer time. Loving Lord, our Father and our God, again, our hallelujah truly belongs to you. No one deserves it, oh God, but you. And so as we gather today with humble heads, bowed hearts, and we ask, oh God, that you will just do what you do and that you will create in each and every one of us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. We're asking you, God, to do this because if you don't do it, it cannot, shall not, and will not get done. So we've come here to worship you. We've come here to give you glory. We've come here to magnify your name. We've come here to lift up the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So God, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us even now, oh God, as we approach your throne. That at the end of the day, oh God, your name will be glorified. Just want to lift up before you, oh God, a prayer of the day, asking, oh God, that you will cleanse us from the sins. Help us to overcome our habits and addictions and draw us closer to you, Father, for you know the idea of person you want us to be. Father, we can't do it without you. Give us the staying power, the will to say no, the will, oh God, to walk away. Give us the desire to say no, oh God, to those things that is not pleasing unto you. Oh God, we just want to lift up before you this morning in a very special way, Sister Lewis. We ask, oh God, that you would touch her body from all of her pains and sickness and affliction. We ask, oh God, that you will hold her up with your righteous right hand. For you see her, oh God. So Father, do what you do. Be with her daughters as well as they support and surround her, oh God. We ask that you would be with all of those families that are bereaved this morning, that are dealing with the loss of loved ones. Some are still waiting for the date, oh God, and we are asking that you will comfort them, that you will let them see you in the midst of these difficult times. We ask that you would draw near unto them. Oh God, we pray for Sister Beverly this morning in her absence. We thank you so much that of her dedication and commitment. We pray for healing in her body. Be with Sister Elaine, oh God. We ask your covering over her as well. We know, God, that you have her in the palm of your hands. So do what you do, oh God. We thank you so much, Sister Alexandra, being in the house, oh God. Amen. We thank you, Father, for Sister Brother O'Meal for being in the house, oh God. We thank you that they pressed their way out today. Lord, we know that the prayers are being answered. Every time we see a saint of God, we know that God has answered another prayer. So we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing, oh God. We also want to lift up our divine worship service today, oh God, and those that are viewing online as they join in on this service, oh God. We pray that even through the airwaves, even through the media, oh God, that you will be able to touch lives and touch hearts, and those that join in will be blessed, changed, that they will be made new. For those that have come into the physical space, we thank you for pressing their way out today. So God, do what you do. Have your way in this service. Let your presence be made known. Thank you for our guest speaker today, and the man of Dr. Ross. We pray for him, oh God, and his bride. I ask that you will cover them in their ministry. Let your presence cover his family, his life, his head, his toes. All over him, oh God, that wherever he go, you set a hedge of protection up around him. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. We declare it right now in the name of Jesus, that as he speak truth to power, and lives are being changed. The enemy is not happy. But Father, we give him no praise nor any glory. So if he's unhappy, so be it. Because our desire is to depopulate hell and to populate heaven. with no problems, oh God. And so we thank you for what you've done in his life. Be with us here today. Cover my family, my wife, my children. Just be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Would like for everyone who wore their African attire, their African clothing, please stand just for a quick moment. If you wore your African attire, stand and everybody take a look around, see how beautiful and wonderful everyone looks. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to also realize that those who didn't stand, you have on your African attire. It's in your face, right? Every single day you're wearing your African attire. I want you to notice, though, all the different colors, all the beautiful fabrics, all the different designs. That's how God made the world. Mm-hmm. All the different flowers, all the different trees, all the different grass, and all the different animals. Everything is beautiful in its own way, just like each of us are. And everything has a purpose. Every one of us has different amount of time on the planet. Everyone has different talents. Everyone has different body and temple. And everyone has different treasure. But we can use all those things together. While we may be different in all those different attributes, we can come together in unity to do great things for God. Amen? Amen. It's nothing we can't do when we work together as a team. All things are possible through God. Amen? Amen. Do you serve a powerful God? Yes. Do you serve an almighty God? Yes. Is there anything that's too hard for him? No, it's not. So when we come together in our time, talent, temple, and treasure, we cannot be stopped as we go forward to do God's will. I want you to remember also, as you turn in your faithful tithe and offering, put in a little extra special if you can for our homeless ministry. Our homeless ministry continues. It's very cold out there today. We've been giving out shoes, clothing, food, blankets, gloves, hats, everything that we can. But as Christ said, we're always going to have the poor with us, right? So we want to continue to give on a consistent basis for that ministry. Also want to remind you that next Sunday is our 12 Steps to Success, 5 p.m. If you want to be successful, if you would like to see how God is going to bless you in this coming year, then tune in with us. Everyone's invited next Sunday at 5 p.m. Also remember, we're already working towards Backpack Sabbath. Already, don't wait. Bring in tablets, notebooks, and actually next Sabbath we'll bring a list of items that we want you to bring in. How many backpacks are we trying to do this year? 600 backpacks. Right. That's not going to come in by itself. Mm-mm. It's not going to show up on the last Sabbath. So let's start. We'll get the list out to you next week. And we want everyone to participate. That's what stewardship's about, everyone participating. That's what church evangelism is about, all members, all hands on deck, doing God's will. Amen? Amen. At this time, would our deacons come forward to lift our morning tithe and offering? We thank you so much for being so faithful and honest with your return of tithe and offering. We thank you because we have our lights on. We have the heat on. We have a nice, cushiony place to worship God and to serve him. But remember, when we come here, this is the pep rally for us to go out into the community and share the gospel. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the privilege you give us each week to return that which you have given to us. We thank you for everyone being honest and faithful. Thank you so much for a sacrificial spirit to do thy will, Lord. Bless us as we do our part. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
He keeps on blessing me over and over again. He keeps on blessing me.
stand right before the choir comes and bless us with another song. We just want to take this time to introduce formally our speaker. But before I do that, Sister Lakita, could you welcome home. We've been missing you. Amen. Glad you're in the house. Amen. Amen. Just wanted to take that moment to let you know we've been missing you and glad to see you in the house. Amen. Come on. We've been praying for you. Amen. It's good to see that God still answers prayer. Amen. Amen. Dr. Ross was born in South America. He is an international health lecturer, researcher, and motivational speaker. He is the founder and CEO of a nonprofit organization called Teaching the World International. The organization motto is this. It says that patients are not always compliant with taking their medications. But, and I'm sure he's going to talk a little bit about that, but they're always compliant with eating food. Medication is not food, but food is a medication. Amen. Is there some truth in that? There's a lot of truth in that. That is true. Amen. Well, we're going to hold the testimonies. He has educational background. He has an MD, medical doctor degree. He has a PH degree in public health. He has an MPH degree in toxicology and a BS degree in biochemistry. The brother will be standing before us is learned. So I believe he's going to share some information with us that's researched, proven, and factual. Did I help you out, Doc? Okay, then. Amen. 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 The university he's attended St. Matthew's University, Capella University, Loma Linda University, and Rochester Institute of Technology. And he also has some inventions that he's invented that are copywritten. Amen. So don't go out here trying to the copywritten. Just put that in there. This is in the bio. It says copywritten inventions. Saucers, which is a weight loss program which helped many type 2 diabetics patients in the early stages reverse their diseases. So if you are suffering with diabetes, this is the man with the plan. Amen. Another invention is the lower six. Lower my A1C to 6. It is an iOS and Android app that helps with making better nutritional choices. I think we can all do that, because if I can just confess right quick, it's not a testimony, Sister Rose, it's just a confession. Amen. That I love ice cream, Elder Harris. I'm telling on myself. But I've been obedient. I haven't eaten as much as I used to. But the struggle is real, Doc. Can you help me, Doc? Can you help me? Amen. My mother is not my brother, which is a learning style program that helps children and adults correctly solve 90% of all math word problems with ease. And so we want to hear from this man of God. I had the privilege and pleasure of meeting him and his bride the first time last night. And he shared something with me. I'll let him, if he want to share that. But I'm just so glad, Doc, that you are here. I was blessed last night, and I'm just looking forward to learning even more from what you have to offer. After the special selection from our choir, the next voice you will hear will be that of this man of God, Dr. Collins Ross. Hear ye the man of God.
Good morning, church. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, that we shall sing a song that the angels cannot understand, because it will be a song of an experience of people who have gone through some of the worst that the devil could give. But we shall come over on the other side. Pastor, I know this is not in Revelation, but I believe God, every Sabbath morning, inclines his ear because he wants to hear what the top choir is saying about him. He wants to feel what the churches in San Diego are preaching about him. It's not that God is egotistical. It's just that he is a God that appreciates when his children, in spoken word and sung song, say, "Our Father, how great thou art." Did he wake you up this morning? Did he bring you on your way? The devil sent the snow, but through snow plows and salt, we're here. The conference president couldn't make it, but glad to God, through social media, he can be present in our service. It is always a warm feeling to come back to talk. I was a little scared because Brother Kwame invited me and not the pastor directly. So I always do my research. So I told Pastor last night, you know, sometimes you're invited to churches, and depending upon the etiquette and the educational level, you thus saith the Lord. But when I saw him roller skating, I said I could just come and be myself. And I see by the smile on his wife's face that he probably didn't know who arranged to have himself recorded. Now, I didn't just watch him roller skating. I watched the way he roller skated. See, there's a difference there. The people that are just, but he was, you know, let me not wear out my welcome. I'm glad to be here and be invited to speak on Black History Month. I always tell the preachers of the congregation, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher. I just use the tongue and the teeth and the mind that God has given me to somehow maybe give a message to someone who's in need. And if I can just reach one person today with whatever God has given me, I've done my job. I want to, last time I came here, the couple of times I came here, I was by myself. I know how some of you brothers are. Some of y'all calling me when I was here by myself, making sure I'm in my hotel. I know how some of you brothers, y'all are just checking up. Well, you know, I started, you know, sometimes you got to make research real. And I kid you not. Two of the most loving people I ever met were your parents, especially Sister Harris. Man, you talk about a lady that had jokes. Not only about Brother Harris, but about you, Paul. And I just made a decision that God actually made for me, that, you know, it's time that old Doc settled down. Now, I'm real. I gotta be honest about some of you single brothers in the church for a long time. There was only one Paul in the Bible. One of the gifts that God gave men was not that gift that Paul claimed. Oh, my. God will find you a woman that you never expected, but that you deserve. You don't need to be on Tinder, Facebook. Just be in God's book, eHarmony. Does it still exist? So I want to introduce the church to Mafe Ross. She's also in the medical field, and a personal time I could share with some of you how we met. I didn't expect it, and I tell you, after 2 years of her qualities are so good. I actually thought she was an Adventist, and she wasn't. Here's what I want to tell you: that Adventist principles are just good principles. It just one thing after the other. When I know myself. I got eyes. I'm no different than a lot of you. Oh, man, she's fine. But you know, the devil looks good in a dress. This has not been the case with her. And it's funny that you invited me back, because I would always tell about your mom. I said, man, you know, I remember the time, last time I saw your mom, we went to the hospital. And she remembered me. She said, oh, y'all bought the doc? She said, well, you know, if y'all would have come 15 minutes later with my food, I would have been dead. She did not like for us to come late to the hospital. Remember that time we had to go feed her? And she just had everybody laughing and all that. And I got a little alarmed because her pulse started going up. But just a wonderful human being. But anyway, y'all didn't come here to hear me share stories and all that. I want to share a little message with the church this morning. I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to our scripture. And this afternoon, please, if you can come back to hear a health message entitled Slave Food, or Food Making Us Slaves. If you think we could have been living here a long time, you'll be convinced when we talk about this afternoon subject that God has to uproot this thing from the ground to the heavens and put us in a new environment. But let us pray, and then we'll get to our message. Dear Father, we are here at this time not by accident or mistake. You have brought us here during a month where we can refocus and get back to the special mission you have given your children of color. You understand the overlooked and the abused. You understand those have been slighted and wronged by all systems in this world. You have given us particularly a special mission and a task to reach those like Good Samaritans. And so I ask, Lord, that as we go through some teaching today, that we will reach, we will teach, and go out with a mission to accomplish that through Black History Month, which you have for the Black community. Thank you for the graciousness of the music, the power of the prayer, the dollars that are given to keep your work going. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Be with us from now and forevermore, I pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 1 to verse 8. John chapter 5. Actually, I want to go to verse 9. And I want to ask the church to please stand as we read the holy writ of God. John chapter 5. And I want to read verse 1 to 9. Say amen when you have it. The Bible says, sometime later, and I'm reading from the NIV, it's okay. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great multitude of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Verse 9. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. May God add a rich blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I just want to spend a couple of minutes from a medical perspective speaking to the church about making functional a history of dysfunction. Making functional a history of dysfunction. Ladies and gentlemen, in this text, Jesus heals a man by all definitions who has a disability. The man has the right structure, but he's lost some of his function. And God, in times past, has used people that have been disabled with structure to accomplish a mighty function. She was only 14 years old when struck in her head by her master. And at 14 years old, back in the 1700s centuries, this woman developed seizures. The seizures were so bad that at times she learned, without a neurologist available, that the only way to stop her seizures was to lie down and take a nap. But when Harriet Tubman got the call to lead those slaves through the Underground Railroad to freedom, what could have taken them 1 week to get to Canada took 3 weeks to get there, because she had to stop and sleep at times so that they could rest and get to freedom. Though she had the disability of seizures without a neurologist, God gave her the power to do a good work and help lead her people onto freedom. She was only 7 years old when she was raped, and the rape caused her to stop talking. Because when the police came to ask her, "Who raped you?" she gave a description of the man. 2 days later, the police found the man dead in a ditch. And they wondered, how did he die? The message came back to the little girl that because of your testimony, this man had died. She developed selective mutism because at 7 years old, she didn't understand what happened and felt that it was her words that led to the death of a man that committed a crime. But God gave the power to Maya Angelou to one day to use that traumatic experience of a rape to become one of the greatest civil rights leaders. The reason why we identify with our sermons, her messages, is because sometimes we feel, as people of color, we've been raped. We've been robbed of our proper position in life. We've been told things that are not true about us. But the power of God to work with someone who has even been physically raped is so powerful that he can unloose your tongue. He can unloose that pen so that you can write messages and passages of scripture to help your people lead to freedom. And he wasn't finished there. She was a young woman when, through slavery, her hand was deformed by a master's cruel punishment. But this woman whose hand was deformed by the master's cruel punishment, when she died, was buried right across from the grave of Ellen White. Her name is Sojourner Truth. And Sojourner Truth, even though the master tried to crush her hand, she's buried right across from Ellen White. And I think it's God trying to tell his people of color that even though men may ride your back, they can't break God's hand. It's the same hand that opened up the Red Sea. It's the same hand that leads us onto freedom. It's the same hand that God doesn't need a Red Sea to part. He doesn't need a school district to break. It's the same hand of God in a mighty way that can open up any obstacle in your way. And he did this all through people who were considered disabled. But the Bible says, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So before we talk about making a functional, a history of dysfunction in 2024, I must talk about some structure that we have that is enabling our dysfunction. Number one, I can't believe that we're still talking about good hair versus bad hair. I've seen many people talk about it's time to go back to natural. Time to get your hair braided. Why are you coloring your hair? First of all, it's nobody's business what you do. God's philosophy is he's not worried about your hairstyle. He's worried about what you got in your head. But in 2024, the only females still talking about what are you doing to your hair are our women. You don't have to be part Cherokee to be good looking. Beauty is a subjective philosophy. In certain cultures, big women are beautiful. In other words, in other cultures, skinny women are beautiful. Our women don't have to twist and to tort and to paint and to bend and to inflate themselves to be considered beautiful. We are the only race where everybody else tries to get what we got naturally by surgery. Those bubble lips, those big hips, the walk with the swag and the twang. Come on, y'all. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Some people pay $25,000 to get what God gave you. Be proud of your big, black, beautiful, and bad self. We have more black doctors than we do have professional athletes. I always tell the young people, you have a better chance of making it through medical school than the NBA. Why is it permeating in our youth that somehow you have a better chance to be an athlete than you do a preacher, than you do an engineer, except it's because the media is showing you lies. There's more than Charles Barkley. There's more than Shaq O'Neal. When you look at the statistics, there are more black professionals than there are black athletes. So if you're playing the statistics and you want to do something good for your community, try to get yourself involved in an educational process that could lead you to do something effective and good. Here's the other one. Since the opioid epidemic, get this, 55% of all people on welfare are not black. But the ones paraded on TV as being welfare mamas are black. Don't you believe what they say about the black unemployment rate? 35% of the people they're including are people in jail. You can't work when you're locked up. And they make it seem as if our young men don't want to work. They just want to commit crime. The true black unemployment rate is at 8%. So this image that we are just selling crack and dealing dope and trying to go to jail, it is a lie in the sense that other races, their unemployment rate is not as low because they include our men that are incarcerated. We fought and died to vote, fought and died to attend school. But then we had a Supreme Court, 5 privileged whites, and 1 Uncle Tom with a tan voted to upend our rights to vote and go to school. We're not the ones who spent $25 million to create fake athletic profiles and bribe and get our children into Stanford, Georgetown, Yale, UCLA, and USC. We're not the ones who were cheating on our SATs. Why did the court go after affirmative action and not the people in Hollywood? Because money talks and money buys. And I don't want us to fall into this false belief that we can't get into school and graduate out of school. Once you're a child of God, He'll give you the power to understand algebra. Once you're a child of God, He'll give you the power to become a lawyer. Once you're a child of God, the one word that should not be in your vocabulary is "I cannot do." Because when God has a place that's prepared for you, He will get you there. Only 6% of all students who attended Harvard University are black, but 11.4% of all students who attend HBCUs are white. It's like Harvard wanted us to build their university, but they don't allow us to attend it. But in their cemetery are buried three famous black slaves. They want us in their graves, but not at the desk. We built the university, but they don't want us in the university. But I tell you folks, through all that I just shared, God performed the miracle. He took a Moses from Honolulu, Hawaii. He sent them to the schools where we were not known to go. And though some said it was impossible, though some said it wouldn't happen, we had the first black president of the United States of America. Some of you saw that as a Democratic win. Some of you saw that as a Republican loss. But could I tell you how I see it? I saw it as God taking a disrespected person, an underrepresented person, and showing us that not through might, but through His power, that if I want, I could still place Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego up in Nebuchadnezzar's house. I still can take a Moses from any Nile and put him up in any palace. And if God did that from a Moses from Honolulu, what makes you think here in St. Louis, Missouri, the show me state you don't have, I can show you God. God can change a history of dysfunction, not by using a whole family, but He just needs one person. And I want to tell you that this thing about God is personal. He's coming for you. When He gave you the power to play classical and to sing gospel, He gave that power to you. When He gave you the power to compose music, He gave that power to you. The way that God starts to create, to fix dysfunction, is one person at a time. John talks about and centers his text at the sheep gate and a pool. Most preachers go to the miracle. That's what the doctors should do. But the doctor is going back to the pool to show the preachers what Jesus can do. John says that there's an architecture at this pool. And when you look at the architectural design of the temple, the shortest way to go from the temple to the pool was through the sheep gate. The church members didn't mind if the blind or the lame and the halt went through the same gate where the sheep were led to be slaughtered, not carrying a sheep to get to the pool. But one day Jesus shows up to the temple and He starts going through what is known as the sheep gate to get to that pool. But here it is. Jesus is not lame. Jesus is not blind. Jesus is not halt. He's not the typical person that goes through the sheep gate to get to that pool. And then Jesus is going through the sheep gate, but he has no lamb. Well, what the church people didn't understand, and what the invalid people didn't understand, that this is not a man coming through the sheep gate just to sacrifice a sheep, but this is the Lamb of God who, behold, shall take away all the sins of the world. And this is what gets me, church. This is what gets me excited, church. He went through the sheep gate not to heal all the people in the pool. He went to the sheep gate just to heal one man. And so if there's only one saint in St. Louis, if there's only one Christian in this world, if there's only one person who deserves to go to heaven, Jesus Christ stood in that sheep gate. Because he didn't come for all of them, he's coming for you. He comes through the sheep gate and he finds this man. But here's what I want you to get. The man was born disabled. But his family had enough sense to put him in a position where he could meet Jesus or be healed. I want to talk to the church about positioning our children in places where they can meet Jesus or also be healed. One of the problems with our communities about placing our children, positioning them, is that we have a non-African tradition of blessing our babies, but not bringing them back to the village. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Many of us have bought our children to be blessed. Right here in this church, invited the family, made big fanfare of it. But as soon as the ceremony is over, we haven't seen you in 30-something years. You blessed your baby in this church, and you thought that the blessing that you came, which was a formal ceremony, was enough power to give your baby to make it through to life. But let me tell you something. When you go through this world, there's 6 days of hell that you will have to face with that baby. 6 days of Facebook, 6 days of Instagram, 6 days of text messaging. But when you bring that baby every 7th day back into the house of the Lord, it gives you a peace that passes all understanding, knowing that coming to church keeps my baby out of jail. Coming to church keeps my baby out of drugs. It's not just good enough bringing our babies to be blessed. It would be good if the parents modeled for the babies what it is to be blessed, but be a blessed child of the Lord. These people in this church are lifeguards. So if your baby ends up drowning, we got people who can pray for you and sing for you. But they're not a life insurance policy. Some people come in here with their children and expect the church to raise your kids. Or expect the pastor to be there only when they... What is your job? Why does somebody else have to pray over your kids? The things that your kids go through on a regular basis should be enough for you to learn how to pray over them, pray with them, and bring them to church. One of the bad practices that we have, there's a spirituality to come into church, make a big fanfare, because we sure love to make fanfare. We sure love to get everything right. And we want to get XYZ sister or brother to pray over our children. But then the work of parenting must continue. We must start to raise our children back in the church. I don't understand parents these days. I didn't have an option to not come to church until I was 18. How is it that some of you pay a mortgage, work every day, and on Sabbath, your child has options that you will discuss? I'm not saying you be mean. I'm not saying you be cruel. But please, The African way of raising children is based on one simple principle. You respect me, and I will respect you. You disrespect me, and I will disrespect you. Where are all children under 18 in any black family right now? Why do we give them toys and forget to study with them the Bible? We've got to put them in a position where they can pray without your guidance, where they can flip and turn to scripture. But it doesn't help us any that we become the homies of our children. The text tells us we've got to put them in a position where they can be healed and where they can meet Jesus. College should not be an option. If you're going to carry my family name, you're going to get some letters behind it. If you instill that in a child, I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you all the truth. We have come to a place in earth history where you cannot have low IQ dealing with a smart devil. But we have gotten to the place in the church where we're trying to find out how to incorporate these young people. We got to let them play the drums. We got to let them run the sound system. No, here is what you got to do. Get your behind up on Sabbath morning. You're coming with me to church. He was positioned in the pool, and he didn't leave there. Here is when you know you're a good parent. When your presence is not around, physically or spiritually, but your children are a representation of you. There is only one spirit. There is only one force. And I'm crazy enough to think that the same man that God touched, coming from a poor family, a dad who was a drunkard, is the same force that can instill in our children, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. We're talking about black history. Oh, Johnny learned about Martin Luther King. Learn about Malcolm X. Learn about Jesus. Swept into Egypt because he looked black. Baptized an Ethiopian because he recognized that this guy looks like me. Black History Month should be a reminder that Jesus was not just a man of color, but he had a soul of color. And those teachings should transmit to our children so that when we are gone, when we can't do our jobs in church, here am I, Father. Here am I, Mother. Send me. I will be your next elder. I will be your next pastor. I will be your next preacher. But if we let them be raised by Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, we as a people are done. And this is not the time to sleep and be weary. My challenge to you, church, is to start bringing your children back here. You're the parent. If you weren't around, they wouldn't be here. And with all that's coming, that the Bible says that the devil is angry. Now, I know the devil's already angry because he got beat up once in heaven. He's got a short time. We got all the time. Oh, no, don't worry, Dr. Ross. You know, when they catch that disease, they'll come back to church. When they lock them up, the prison will say, no, I have more faith and power in Jesus Christ than a probation officer. The man was positioned at the pool by his parents. so that he could meet Jesus or be healed. He says, and I just have two more points and I'm done. The man says, when Jesus comes, he asks him a simple question. You want to walk? Now, I'm not too bright. But if my problem is I can't walk, and a man who can walk asks me if I want to walk, the answer should just be yes. But he starts to say that I have nobody to put me in the pool, and every time I go to the pool, there's something going on. There's another dynamic about a dysfunction that we need to recuperate to get it back into function. The man knew of Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. He wasn't prepared for the power that was about to be unleashed on him. Another thing we need to understand is that there's power in prayer, but there's power in planning. Can I tell you one of the things that, you know, that doesn't position our children during Black History Month, that becomes an obstacle for them becoming great? It's called standardized testing. Standardized testing came from the dead. You are not dumb because you got a low score on the SAT. Can I tell you something? Not one of the people who have written questions for the SAT, for the LSAT, for the MCAT, for the USMLE were ever black. And when you ask them, oh, if it doesn't make a difference who writes the test and who passes the test, why can't I be a test writer? One of the things we must do to position our children to overcome this obstacle is to pray for them, but put them in test prep. Yes, sir. You are not dumb because you couldn't get a high score. You just never took the class that was teaching you all the answers to the questions. You didn't have the money or come from a family that prepared you to take the test. You know I was going to say something, but I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to say it. Some of you took a driving test. Imagine if you had to take that driving test in China. Folks, I need to let you know this. Don't be so hard on your kids, your black kids, when they cannot pass these exams. Standardized testing came from the devil. There are word patterns. There are phrases. There are expressions that go deep-rooted into your cultural experience. And the only way our kids will have a chance, because we know when they get a chance, oh my word. Man, look, I'm just being honest. I love listening to some good preaching, Adventist, whatever. But man, when it's a brother coming up to that, we have taken preaching and has bought it. Imagine if we did that with engineering. Imagine if we did that with medicine. Imagine if we, and the only thing that is locking us out is standardized testing. But the way we position our children to be saved from that is prayer and test prep. But the man, almost done. He said that when the waters are stirred, He had no one to help him get into the pool. Here's why. Think about it. The angel moved the water. Some people got healed. But those people that were healed did not stay back to help those still left at the pool. Here's what I'm saying with this. If God has rescued you from the projects and the hood, give back. This man was stuck because the people that had all the blessings in the church would not give back. God put you here to gain wealth, if you think so. But it was to give back. If you've got talents, give back to your community. If you've got skills, give back to your community. Don't just look for those who have the spotlight to give back. Your personal mission in life is to find one person, one child, to who you could give back. But the second thing, while the man was waiting there, some of the people that wanted to get healed died. Before I end, talking about making functional history of dysfunction, I want to talk about grief in the black community. Death doesn't hit us like it does everybody else. And there's two reasons why. Number one, death releases traumas that we were holding inside and absorbed by the person that died. Your grandma might have not had an education. Your parents maybe didn't go so high in school because of the generation they came from, but they were protecting you from trauma. You could talk to them. They would listen to you. They understood your language of pain. But when a black person dies in the community, your trauma now becomes exposed. Who do I turn to? Where do I turn to? And folks, at least in church, we have God, who we can pray to, who we can wrestle with, who we can cry to. We can ask him why. And then we read the scripture that the worms destroy this body. But our brothers and sisters outside of the community of faith, they turn to drugs, they turn to weed. Have you noticed the amount of young people smoking weed? It's because some man was taken out of their life who was their father, trauma. Some situation was changed in their life, taken away, trauma. And they've learned that the only way to deal with trauma in my grief is to use drugs. The reason why you don't see it is because you got God that kept you from your... Here's the second part. Try to find a black mental health professional. We feel better, we feel relaxed when the counselor looks just like us. But another reason why we suffer through this dysfunction is we don't have enough mental health professionals to deal with us. And so many of us go through the grieving process that now becomes a depression. After 6 months, it should get better. After 1 year, you should be on your way to healing. But many of us have carried around trauma from death after death after death because we can't find that face that looked like grandma. We can't find that person that looked like mama. When my dad left home when I was just 12 years old, I've never found another face that looked like my dad. Trauma. And the devil, though he's taken our people, do not be stigmatized by the fact that you might need counseling because that death unearthed some trauma. I'm going to end with this. Jesus had to come to that pool like he had to go to that neighborhood because one of the dysfunctions of grieving and lame and halt people is you're around too many people that are just like you. How does the blind expect to be helped by another blind man? How can a blind man help one that can't walk? The reason why Jesus had to go to that pool, they needed somebody he was able-bodied and stable-minded that could lead them to the path of salvation. The problem with us sometimes is we don't look at the people giving us advice on how to get healed from that pool. Some of you single ladies taking advice from girls in the salon. I've been single all my life, child. Well, let me tell you what you need to look out for in a man. She's been single all her life. Some of us brothers are getting advice from brothers. Well, you know what? I don't need no education. I just know how to do my thing and make my money. You had a pool with other sick people. I learned from the Chinese, from the Japanese, from the Europeans, from the Indians, what I could to take it back and help lift up my community. Because the one thing we have to be real about, not all of us are well. And if you're taking advice from people who are in the same situation or worse situation than you, one of two things will happen. You're going to be just like them or worse than them. That's why Jesus had to show up. I got to remove you from this festation of humanity that's feeding your head with foolishness. Do you want to walk? And what I say to this church today is, do you want to walk? If you want to walk, I know a Jesus that he leads me into all paths of righteousness. I know a Jesus that some of y'all call him our Father. I call him the Lord is my shepherd. If you want to walk, I know a Jesus that healed the lame man and healed this man. If you want to walk and make some history out of this black history, I know a Jesus that moved on a Martin Luther King, that moved on a Harriet Tubman, that put Sojourner Truth in Battle Creek, Michigan. I know a Jesus who gave us C.D. Brooks, who gave us E.E. Cleveland, who gave us Pastor and Sister Fields. I know a Jesus that whatever pool you have come from, he will tell you, take up your bed and walk. No more dysfunction. Bring back the function. Take up your bed today and walk. So as we close, folks, I want to pray that this Black History Month, this Sabbath, will be a change for you to improve the community. Those of you talking bad about your pastor and his family, and I know some of you, oh, you always got devils in church. Why don't you support the mission instead of talking against the mission? If he hasn't allowed you to sing, it's because you probably can't sing. Find something else to do. But pick up your bed and walk. Let us pray. Dear Father, Let help us to position our children to be in a place that they can develop function. Help us to position ourselves to be in a place where we can take up our beds and walk. Father, help us to be in a place where top in this little square area here will be the one place where the liquor store attendants, the drug pushers are afraid to let their clients find out, because you're still healing drug addicts. You're still helping those through school. You're still helping people who cannot walk to pick up their beds and walk. I pray that you empower this church from the drummer to the back door, from the choir to the preachers, from the ushers to the deacons, to be mini Jesuses, healing people and helping people in the pools where you have put us. Give us the power and the strength to continue in the glow of this Sabbath day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together again? What a word, what a word. Dr. Ross, one of the things as a preacher, we know when we've heard a good word is when we ourselves, after that word, want to preach. And I want to preach right now, but because of the hour, we want to thank you so much, Elder. Thank you for that word. Truly we're fed today. At this time, if you stand with me as I just close out with a word of prayer, the praise team. Did you? No. I'm going to have you do it. I was actually going to have you, but you come. Let us bow our heads, pray for the food.
Praise the Lord one more time. Father God, Lord, we are so grateful for the message that has been brought. Lord, we ask that we will take heed to it, and that we will take up our bed, and that we will truly walk. Our community needs us. We need our community. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just bless us. Bless, Lord, the hands that have prepared food. Bless the food that it be nourishing. Bless the socialization. But more important than anything, Lord, draw us nearer to thee. Nearer to thee, Lord, we pray. And so, Lord, we give all honor, praise, and glory unto thee. We thank you, Lord, for being a God who loves us so. From the uttermost to the uttermost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We want to invite everyone to stay, and we have a beautiful meal prepared downstairs. Amen. So as the deacons come up to usher us out, we're going to sing our closing song called Sia Hamba.
Cook.